this clear.
As I've said from the start, Madam President, as I've said from the start.
Look around, look around, find some space.
The two tracks of infrastructure are going to move in tandem. We're making good progress on both tracks.
I'm Paul Fisher. You could call it aspirational.
Looking at all these boxes, it's a lie on its face. World is free.
Today, I'm announcing that I intend to file cloture.
Or trying to impose a deadline to hurry things up.
Senators will have until Wednesday of next week before the initial vote on cloture on the motion to proceed.
Or wishful thinking.
And
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer scheduled key votes on infrastructure.
Cardboard can't contain my love for you.
I am setting the same deadline next Wednesday for the entire Senate Democratic Caucus to agree to move forward.
Thought you were smart, but you just take up space. It's our fate to be replaced.
On the budget resolution with reconciliation instructions. The time has come to make progress, and we will. We must.
Whatever you call it, Schumer's deadline for pushing infrastructure legislation got pushback. Even from Republicans who support the bipartisan infrastructure bill, because they want to see the bill in writing first.
Well, we're still working on it. It's more important to get it right than to meet an arbitrary deadline.
Found you, my girl. You're the best thing in this cluttered world.
And we are still negotiating. In fact, last night I was negotiating some of the final details with the White House, and later today we will be having additional negotiations with the Republicans and Democrats who've come together to put this bill into a track that's very unusual for Washington. You know, people are used to legislation being on the Republican side or the Democrat side. And this is a little confusing for people because it's actually 11 Republicans and 11 Democrats putting this together. Chuck Schumer, with all due respect, is not writing the bill, nor is Mitch McConnell, by the way. So that's why we shouldn't have an arbitrary deadline of Wednesday. We should bring the legislation forward when it's ready. It's incredibly important legislation. You know, we have a situation now in our country where we do have crumbling infrastructure. It's hurting our efficiency, therefore our productivity and our competitiveness. China spends about 3 or 4 times more on infrastructure than we do, as an example. So everybody knows that. Every president in modern history has said we've got to have a massive investment in our infrastructure. President Bush, President Obama, President Trump actually had a $1.5 trillion proposal in his budget, so significantly more than we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we get it done. It's been talked about for years, and yet it's got to be done in a thoughtful, bipartisan way. We don't want to rush this process and make mistakes. You know, we don't have a product yet, and we won't have a product until we can finish the negotiations properly. Again, this is a complex bill. It involves several committees. It involves a lot of very tough issues because we've got to resolve them between us first. So, again, we're meeting today. There are 11 Democrats and 11 Republicans working on this. And we're moving as fast as we can. Dana, think about it. When we came together with the general framework agreement, it was decided that we would then get into the details. We've had 1 week of legislative session since then for a bill that, as you indicated earlier, is over a 10-year period, over $1 trillion. Five-year period, which is what it's for. It's $579 billion. It makes historic investments in our infrastructure. We want to get it right. So it's not too much to ask that we have the time to do that. Again, I was on with the White House last night negotiating some of the final details. So we're still very much in that process. We'll push as hard as we can. You know, we're working all weekend again, and that's important. It's important to get it done because, you know, it's an urgent matter. But we ought not to have an arbitrary deadline forcing this process. We got to be sure that we're doing it in a way that ends up with the best product.
And then there are Republicans who oppose the infrastructure packages. Whatever winds up in the legislation.
Well, to me, that $3.5 trillion that was announced last night really is the extreme Democrats' freight train to socialism.
By unanimous consent, consent, the mandatory quorum call has been waived. The question is...
And Schumer's cloture gambit to speed up an infrastructure bill failed.
To a close.
I don't understand what is going on.
On this vote, the yeas are 49, the nays are 51. 3/5 of the senators duly chosen and sworn, not having voted in the affirmative. The motion is not agreed to.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy named his 5 picks to the House Select Committee to investigate the attack on the Capitol. He dragged it out as long as possible, and until after he met yet again with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. All 5 picks are McCarthy loyalists and Trumpers, including Jim Jordan. 3 of the 5 McCarthy named voted not to certify Biden the winner.
It's not the end of the world.
McCarthy did decide not to go full confrontal with his picks. No Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, or Louie Gohmert. So, what's the GOP plan for being on the panel to investigate the insurrection? They want to know if Nancy Pelosi is to blame.
Well, there have been many questions raised about why there wasn't a higher National Guard presence. It was supposedly offered. At what level was that rejected? I would hope they would look into that, because that question really hasn't been answered. How high up the chain did it go? Was it at the speaker's level where they were offered National Guard protection on January 6th and denied it?
Yes, you heard that right. Speaker Pelosi then went full confrontal. She rejected 2 of McCarthy's committee picks, Jim Jordan and Congressman Banks, as unsuitable.
Pelosi has broken this institution. We will run our own investigation.
Given that no other Republican but yourself will participate?
I am absolutely confident that we will have a nonpartisan investigation, that it will look at the facts. She has objected to 2 members, and the rhetoric around this from the minority leader and from those 2 members has been disgraceful.
Personally, did you personally urge the speaker to take this step?
I agree with what the speaker has done.
But admitted that whenever he faced losing, he just claims he won.
I'm waiting up for you to tell me what to do. I'm living a half life without you.
Whether it's after an election he lost,
you drip candle wax right between my eyes. We're doing a sex thing, cause I'm...
Or even before an election. Or even if it's just a poll at CPAC.
Thank you very much.
There's a pain in my heart where there's no pain. I've been touched by an angel. Now I'm melting the rain.
You know, I said to Matt and Mercedes, you know, because I've done this. And by the way, you have a poll coming out. Unfortunately, I want to know what it is.
Say what you want. You're scammed. Now I can stand you. Why don't you get down?
do this. Now, if it's bad, I say it's fake. If it's good, I say that's the most accurate poll perhaps ever. And I know they have it. I guess it gets announced after. I want to find out. Are you going to? All you want.
Just up in the phone. Just to hear if it'll ring.
Well, whenever the hell they get it released, I'll tell you, here's the story. If it's bad, it'll be front page news in the newspapers. If it's great, they won't even cover it. I hate to tell you that, Matt. And I don't want to convince him to do a bad poll.
By the way, isn't it time to change the name from CPAC to TPAC? There are no true A-list conservatives there anymore. Only Trumpers. Anyway, I guess it does explain why Trump will take credit for the vaccine, but not say or do anything to offend the anti-vaxxers in his base and the GOP in Congress.
Where this hesitancy is coming from members of your own party, casting doubt on vaccines.
I'm waiting up for you to tell me what to do, but I'm having a great time without you.
What are your conversations with Senator Johnson, other Republicans, casting down the vaccine?
Yeah, I've already answered the question about how I feel about this. I can only speak for myself, and I just did a few minutes ago.
And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I want to talk to you today about one of the biggest obstacles that's preventing us from ending this pandemic. Today, I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation.
Just like an angel.
Today, we live in a world where misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. Misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health, according to the best evidence at the time.
In a beautiful...
And while it often appears innocuous on social media apps, on retail sites, or search engines, the truth is that misinformation takes away our freedom to make informed decisions about our health and the health of our loved ones. During the COVID-19 pandemic, health misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks in high-risk settings. It's led them to turn down proven treatments and to choose not to get vaccinated. This has led to avoidable illnesses and death. Simply put, health information has cost us lives. Misinformation didn't start with COVID-19. What's different now, though, is the speed and scale at which health misinformation is spreading.
A
technology companies have enabled misinformation to poison our information environment. With little accountability to their users. They've allowed people who intentionally spread misinformation, what we call disinformation, to have extraordinary reach. They've designed product features, such as like buttons, that reward us for sharing emotionally charged content, not accurate content. And their algorithms tend to give us more of what we click on, pulling us deeper and deeper into a well of misinformation.
So about, I think this was a question asked before, there's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation. Social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook, ones that Facebook owns. Third, it's important to take faster action against harmful posts. As you all know, information travels quite quickly on social media platforms.
There is a clear message that is coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk. And communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well.
It's absolute insanity. President Biden said, maybe he could have said it slightly differently, is we're willing to come to your house to give you the vaccine. At no point was anybody saying they're going to break down your door and jam a vaccine in your arm despite your protests. This is outrage politics that is being played by my party, and it's going to get Americans killed. We are on a, our party has been hijacked. My party has been hijacked. It is on its way to the ground, and for some people, it's a fun ride, right? We can put out this outrageous stuff on Twitter.
Inexplicable pushing back on the part of some people about getting vaccinated. I heard it when you were talking just a while ago to the congressman about the idea of people saying that government is knocking on your door trying to force you to vaccinate. That is not the case at all. We're getting trusted messages to try and get people to understand and appreciate why it's important for their own safety, for that of their families, and for the community in general. There's no reason not to get vaccinated. You make a very good point. There are places in the world, many places, where the vaccination availability is practically nil. Those people would do anything to get a vaccine. We in the United States have enough vaccinations to give to everybody in the country, and they're life-saving. I mean, we've got to put aside this ideological difference or differences thinking that somebody's forcing you to do something. The public health officials, like myself and my colleagues, are asking you to do something that will ultimately save your life. And that of your family and that of the community. So, Jeff, Jake, I don't know. I mean, I really don't have a good explanation, Jake, about why this is happening. I mean, it's ideological rigidity, I think. There's no reason not to get vaccinated. Why are we having red states and places in the South that are very highly ideological in one way, not wanting to get vaccinations? Vaccinations have nothing to do with politics. It's a public health issue. It doesn't matter who you are. The virus doesn't know whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. For sure, we know that. And yet, there is that divide of people wanting to get vaccinated and not wanting to get vaccinated, which is really unfortunate. It's losing lives.
Yeah, I'm getting all these retweets and everybody knows me, I'm famous, but this plane is going to crash into the ground. Listen, if you are a Republican voter, do not listen to people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. The vaccine is safe. COVID is real. Get vaccinated, because if you're going to listen to the outrage, by the way, in March, she's bragging about Donald Trump creating the vaccine. And now she's saying basically the vaccine's going to kill you. I call on Leader McCarthy, I call on every leader in the Republican Party to stand up, say get vaccinated, and to call out these garbage politicians.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
The absolute clown politicians playing on your vaccine fears for their own selfish gain.
That is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
That became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent
that. Could
have
been.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Investigation is not finished. Thank you all very much.
Because there's not enough going on in the world, for the first time, the U.S. and NATO have accused China of being in league with criminal hackers in a massive attack targeting users of Microsoft.
What is your understanding of the biggest difference between what they've done versus what Russia's done in terms of cyber hacking?
That'd take a longer explanation.
We have all the time.
No, we don't. I have to go see the King of Jordan.
Mr. President.
To the best of my knowledge, and I'm getting a report tomorrow morning on this, a detailed report, my understanding is that the Chinese government, not unlike the Russian government, is not doing this themselves, but are protecting those who are doing it, and maybe even accommodating them being able to do it. That may be the difference. Thank you.
So, of course, reporters want to know if the West is going easier on China than on Russia, because there is so much more U.S. trade with China than U.S. trade with Russia.
Kick us off.
Thanks, Jen. Two subjects. First, the president's remarks on why China didn't face sanctions for cyber attacks that Russia did. Could you clarify, since both countries are accused of protecting criminal hacker groups, and then along the same lines, U.S. imports about $435 billion of goods from China. Cyber attacks.
I would note that we are actually elevating and taking steps to not only speak out publicly, but certainly take action as it relates to problematic cyber activities from China in a different way, but as we have from Russia as well. We are not differentiating. One is, out of the realm of condemnation or out of the realm of consequence from the United States. In terms of the economic pieces, I think you're asking me, give me a little more on your question we're trying to get at.
Basically, the U.S. economy depends a lot on Chinese imports. We only get $16 billion worth of goods from Russia. If we were to come with major sanctions on China, is there a risk that we could be hurting our own economy?
Well, I would say first that we take cyber actions against our country and against private sector entities quite seriously. The Department of Justice is imposing costs and today announced criminal charges against four MSS hackers. These charges address activities concerning a multi-year campaign targeting foreign governments and entities in key sectors. We also have, through the National Security Agency, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and Federal Bureau of Investigation, exposed over 50 tactics, techniques, and procedures Chinese state-sponsored cyber actors use when targeting U.S. and allied networks. My point is, we are not holding back. We are not allowing any economic circumstance or consideration to prevent us from taking actions where warranted. And also, we reserve the option to take additional actions where warranted as well. This is not the conclusion of our efforts as it relates to cyber activities with China or Russia.
And you're listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? With musical host Paul Fisher in New York City.
15 minutes. We are in a brief hold here. This is okay.
Space billionaire hotshots. Part 2.
This is the flight director. New Shepard is go for launch. Booster, commence similar count.
We'll go flight.
Controller, drop UHF voice.
Unlike Branson's rocket plane, launched from the belly of a mothership at 50,000 feet, The Jeff Bezos Blue Origin system is a reusable launch pad rocket. Fully automated from liftoff to touchdown.
We are about to go to space, everybody.
Sequence.
There go the aft fin checks. There you see the engine gimbal check just peeking out at the base of the rocket.
T-minus 16, guidance internal. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, command engine start, 2, 1.
With Bezos, his brother.
You know, it was just such a thrill. You know, Jeff and I have had the opportunity to have a lot of adventures together.
Also, an 18-year-old, the youngest to go to space.
I'm just super excited and not nervous at all.
And an 82-year-old, the oldest in space.
I can just float to it and do my turn.
Oh my goodness, listen to the roar of the BE-3 engine. We are just about to pass through Max Q, maximum dynamic pressure. That was when the stresses on the vehicle are at their maximum.
Max Q.
All right, coming up here on MECO, main engine cutoff. That will be followed shortly by separation. You can start to see. Stand by. You're going to see the separation of the capsule from the booster itself.
Please don't be sad if it was a straight line you had. We wouldn't have known you were these
And there we go. Our astronauts have passed the Kármán line at about 328,000 feet, continuing their ascent. You see the two vehicles there. When the speed hits zero, you know that they've hit apogee, their maximum altitude, and you hear they're having quite an experience.
Yep.
That's very good.
Yep.
Awesome.
Look at this. It's dark up here.
Oh, wow. So- Everybody in?
First step, status check. Astronaut Oliver.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow. Oliver, status check.
Control, Oliver, status perfect. Copy, astronaut Wally.
Wally. No control, Wally is Lucy.
Who was in the original Mercury training program at NASA? And who will put the age in space age? She took the title from John Glenn, one of the original NASA astronauts who returned to orbit on a space shuttle flight at the age of 77.
Shepard, so far a phenomenal flight. Our booster is about to return to its landing pad. There we see engine relight. That is sonic boom.
Stand by drogues. Stand by me.
Here comes the crew capsule back from space. The drogues deployed. Here are the mains out, reefing and coming to full inflation. Our rocket went over Mach 3, and now they're coming floating back down at just about 15 or 16 miles an hour.
You have a very happy Capcom here as well.
And so it's begun.
So we fell through the door like the autumn leaves, and I wrestled my brother down to his knees, just to watch as a rocket shot into the October sky. There's a picture.
Two billionaires have made space tourism affordable for multimillionaires. No doubt, just like air travel, which began with rich people flying here to there in tuxedos, and then jet setters flying from one resort city to another.
You had to fly in your October sky.
Eventually, here too, space tourism will reach down to the masses. And before you know it, they'll be able to lose your luggage at Mach 3 and 0G. And some of the people in the cabin with you will insist on their constitutional right not to wear a seatbelt or an oxygen mask. Can't wait.
As you get blue control, Bezos, best day ever.
Yeah! I can't tell you. I had such a good instructor. He took us through everything that we were going to do. So when I went up this morning...
Cigarettes that I smoke since you left, 'cause
said you had to fly. In your October sky.
The noise wasn't quite as bad, and we went right on up, and I saw darkness. I thought I was going to see the world, but we weren't quite high enough. And I felt great. A long time to finally get it up there, and I could always beat the guys on what they were doing because I was always stronger and I've always done everything on my own, and it was wonderful. I want to go again fast.
Deny they lost the election. They deny an insurrection. They deny a COVID pandemic. They deny a vaccine will keep you from dying. So why be surprised when their denial of climate change means a scorched earth policy?
We are under a state of emergency because of the wildfire risk. And we have a ban on most outdoor burning and agricultural burning. This is climate change.
Sky 8 gives us a bird's eye view of the brush fire that broke out along Highway 99 between Oregon City and Canby. Crews were dispatched just after 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. Some of the first firefighters on scene report seeing the flames creeping up the hillside.
So this is not the first wildfire of the season. It certainly won't be the last.
Western wildfire season exploded 6 weeks early. This rain won't be that long before Western wildfire season runs all year round. Oregon is taking a hard hit.
And unfortunately, this fire, the bootleg fire, got going. And without really anything to stand in its way, it's just been rampaging with big high winds and really high temperatures. And it's just been moving and moving and moving.
With the fire moving towards homes and structures, many people and livestock were ordered to evacuate immediately. Others were told to get ready. This was playing out as crews battled the flames on the ground and from the air.
And now at 5, Oregon on fire. 25 active fires burning across the state, and the bootleg fire in Klamath County is now the largest in the country, burning more than 200,000 acres. That's more than twice the size of Portland.
It was no.
More than a million acres have already gone up in smoke so far this year. Dozens of major fires burning in a dozen western states.
We just saw the helicopter do a drop. It's highly inaccessible for our crews to get there. It's a ton of work and really dangerous for our crews to be up there. So the rate of spread was quick early on, and so our crews were having to spread out, breaking into divisions.
The plan of attack.
But we start tonight with Monica Coleman, who spent the day on the fire lines, joining us live now from the nearby town of Paradise. Monica.
Hey, Madison, driving into Paradise today, you could see the signs that read Paradise.
Start with breaking news right now. Oregon 99E now closed in both directions. This is 3 miles north of Canby because of a wildfire. We've got a crew on the way. We'll keep you posted on that.
When you look into the sky, you can see that smoke. Proof that the Dixie Fire is not too far from home for so many people.
When I heard Camp Creek Road yesterday on the dispatch, the hair on my neck stood up a little bit because we know the fire history in this area.
Dixie Fire ballooned from around 50 acres yesterday to more than 1,200 acres now. Containment is at 0%. Evacuation warnings are in place for the Pulga and Concow areas.
And this fire is burning not far from where the campfire incinerated the town of Paradise in November of 2018.
It's been the biggest challenge for firefighters due to a lack of paved roads in this area. But look above behind me. These aircraft are dropping gallons of water down below to fight this fire from above.
But those access issues are a problem. So CAL FIRE's working on improving roads.
And
so
now
we can
to what we know right now about other fires. Take a look at this map. Of the 25 fires burning in Oregon, these are the major ones. The length of the state from Washington County south to Klamath County. You also see that Lyle Hill fire burning in the Columbia River Gorge in Washington.
Seeing the plumes of smoke, it really raises everyone's anxiety level.
Obviously, folks that live in the area are nervous because they're very aware and savvy of what fires do.
Most of these fires also forcing people to evacuate their homes. And we just got word 3 houses and several other buildings were destroyed in the Darlene fire that's burning near.
We're experiencing some of the most dry conditions that a lot of us have ever seen as wildland firefighters.
Fire crews working in steep terrain. It's burning on a slope above Highway 6.
And if you want to come alive.
And people may see smoke in the area as local ODF crews continue to fight this fire.
They're working to establish containment lines, so it certainly is not contained. If all goes well, we'll have, you know, like initial lines intact. You know, probably tomorrow afternoon.
Around Central Oregon, businesses say the poor air quality can cause them to partially close down.
It's really, really bad. Just for the safety of our staff and our guests, we'll probably end up having to close the patio just for air quality.
Ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba.
frequency, Kenneth. The fires this time. Playlist of music and sound bites on the program, you can go to the program's Facebook page. What's the frequency, Paul? Played. Started off with Cluttered World by Museum of Love. Soccer Mommy did Rom-Com 2004. We heard It Should Have Been Fun by Pip Blom. Cows of Tomorrow by Volunteer Department. Creep, the very 2021 remix by Radiohead. Don't Make Me Wait by Moyne. Shipping Container by Venetian Blinds. Dear Mr. Fantasy by Traffic. Ride 38 by April Magazine. Yebba did October Sky. Burned in the Mirror by Rosa Damask. Forgetter by Smurs. And in the background now, that's 2020 by Midwife.